Welcome to Cryptic Soup. Tonight's episode is about torture. Yep, you heard that right. We're going to discuss some real and potentially mythical torture devices that will surprisingly make you thankful for the new age prison systems we have today. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Thina.
And tonight we have a torturous episode to share with you.
Ad-libbed.
I did.
A little bit. Just a little, slightly.
That one word.
Just
one. Really liked it.
Yep.
Today?
Yeah.
Today. That was the ad-libbed word, guys. You wanted to know.
Kylie doesn't ad-lib. Kylie reads word for word, including if there are errors. Kylie will read the error.
Yep.
So anyways, hey guys, what's up? It's, you know, almost St. Patty's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Today, when we're recording, so not the day you guys are listening, they started turning the river green.
Oh, really?
Yeah, today was the official day.
Nice.
So in case you guys don't know, there's like a thing that is nearby us where there's a giant fucking river in the middle of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they dye the river green. And it takes like
It
takes like four boats and it takes multiple days to get this river green. And at first, the first day or two that they dye it green, they have to use so much dye. It's like bioluminescent looking. And it's like,
is it food coloring? Or like, what do they use? Do you know?
It's that safe dye that's safe for animals because fish. Shiro, I'm trying to talk about green rivers.
He's not having it.
He's not having my green river talk. I'm just trying to say Patty's. And Shiro's like, row, row, row. You guys row, can hear him. I know you can.
He's so loud. He's been driving me nuts. He's driving me nuts every week.
Yeah, I feel every like that's day. A reoccurring theme. Every time I see Kylie, hi, Kylie, how are you? Shiro drove me nuts today.
Yeah.
Okay, nice to meet you too, Kylie.
He's just, I think it's the steroids that he's on.
Yeah.
But he will just sit there if I have anything whatsoever. Candy, gum, like literally anything, he'll just come up and stare.
Cowboy's learned to drool recently. He's never drooled before, but he's learned to recently. So if you're eating and you don't share with him, he'll just start drooling on you. And I'm like, where the fuck did you pick this up, bro? Take it back. Return it. For short credit.
Return it. Anyway, Green River.
Yeah, so back to my Green River. Enough about our dogs. The first few days, it's so green. They use this, like, safe dye, and they toss it in the river, and they have to, like, use the boat propellers to, like, move it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking bright. It's literally neon. And then over the next few days, by the time St. Patty's rolls around, it'll be a bright green river that's, like, shamrock green more. So speaking of St. Patty's Day, do you want to hear potentially one of the most embarrassing stories I might ever tell on the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Margie's really let down by this story. So are all my coworkers. All right. St. Patty's Day is my favorite holiday of all holidays. It goes St. Patty's Day is number one, Valentine's is number two, and Halloween is three. That's how I knew I was never an emo bitch. Halloween has never been my favorite holiday, no matter how emo people think I am.
I guarantee you everyone that meets you is like, Halloween's their favorite holiday.
Every single person. Yeah. And I'm like, psych, it's the one where you get to get drunk and get kissed, fuckers. Okay, so I love St. Patty's Day, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm Irish, of course I am.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was also a topic of discussion in our mm-hmm. home. So that's how this conversation started. I said something the other day and I said, hey, at PetSmart, there's these shirts that say, pet me, I'm Irish. And I want to get one for Cow because I have a kiss me, I'm Irish shirt and we can take pictures together, right?
Uh-huh.
See where this is going.
Yes.
And Margie goes, oh, yeah, that's cute. We can get it for him. And I was like, because he's Irish. And she's like, he's not Irish. And I was like, I mean, I'm his mother and I'm Irish, so I would assume he's Irish. And she goes, you're Irish? And I said, I have fucking red hair, freckles and green eyes. What makes you think I'm not Irish? Like she's seen what I look like. And then she's like, oh, yeah, no, that checks out. Yeah, like that makes sense, actually. I was like, yeah, like that's why it's my favorite holiday. Okay. So moving on from that,
mm-hmm.
I tell that story to my coworker, right? And they laugh and they chuckle to themselves, whatever. And then Scott says, so do you like everything St. Patty's? And I was like everything that is St. Patty's. I love all of it. And he's like, oh, that's cool. Do you like the Shamrock Shake? like the shake from McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I would never try that.
What?
And I was
You've never had one?
No. I've never had one. And he looks at me, he's like, didn't you once tell me you love mint chocolate chip ice cream? And I was like, yeah, I do. Why? What does that have to do with anything? And he looks at me and he goes, I gotta ask you something, Athena. And I was like, yeah.
Shoot.
He goes, what flavor? Because he just knew I was gonna say some off the wall shit. He goes, what flavor is the Shamrock Shake? No hesitation. I've never thought this through. I've never talked about it with anyone. I look at him and I go, grass.
I thought you would say like watermelon.
No.
Or like apple.
And he looks at me and goes, you think McDonald's is out here selling a grass flavored shake that people are like losing their shit over, that they beg to come back every year? And I was like, well, like four leaf clovers are kind of like grass. So like, isn't it grass? Like, does it taste like grass? Right. And he's like, you go up to other people in this office and you tell them the Shamrock Shake is grass and you ask them if that seems logical. First off, no one thought it was logical, but me.
Absolutely not.
Not a single person.
You like mint chocolate ice cream?
Love it. Tastes like toothpaste.
Okay, so you're going to literally, like, remember how that one month you had Baja Blast every single day?
Yes.
Yeah. So when McDonald's comes out every day,
it was 26 days. Okay, first off.
You would know that. McDonald's comes out with this shake every single year, and you will have it every single day for the whole time that it's offered.
I still haven't had it. It's out now.
I know. I've had one.
Oh, does it taste like grass?
Nope.
Interesting. But yeah, so now Margie's really embarrassed. I purposely think she won't let me have one now because I said such stupid shit.
Oh, no, I'm going to get you one.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's the Shamrock Shake.
Next Monday. For recording, we'll have Shamrock Shakes.
I even have glasses that are four leaf clovers.
Uh-huh.
And like, I could wear my glasses while I eat my Shamrock Shake. Because they're... Do you want to...
I didn't know you eat shakes.
All right. So you want to start the episode, bitch?
Also, I'm second Irish.
You're second Irish.
I'm German, mostly.
Oh.
But I am German and Irish.
I'm mostly French, but can't put this leprechaun down. I can't think of anything to call myself. I don't know. You can't put this lad down.
Wee little lad.
Wasn't that like one of the best fucking Disney movies ever, The Luck of the Irish?
I've never seen that movie.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, the best part of the whole movie is, so he's from Michigan, okay? So this is like a Michigander joke, and you'll like this. So he's making a bet with the leprechaun. People are like, this fucking intro today is a fucking off the walls one. Just deal with it for once. Let me have my moments. Okay, so the guy is like, oh, if you lose to me, the kid says this. And it's that really, when we were kids, he's hot. We're adults now, so it's weird calling him hot. But you know what I mean.
It's weird.
But like when we were kids, he was the hot Disney kid. He's the kid from Smart House.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's that guy. But okay. He has red hair because he's Irish. And he turns into a leprechaun. Okay. So as this movie's progressing, he makes this bet with the leprechaun. And he's like, if I can beat you, you know, then I win and you have to give me the pot of gold or whatever the thing is. And he's like, and if you lose, you're banished to the land of my family and you're going to be banished to the Eyrie. And the guy's like, oh, you said you're going to banish me to the Eyrie. It's pronounced Eyrie, you wee lad, because he's like Irish. And he's like, you're just pronouncing it wrong. The Eyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps telling him that. So then the spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, the leprechaun loses.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's like, haha, you're banished to Eyrie. And he's like, I told you it's pronounced Eyrie. And he's like, Eyrie? Nah. I'm from Michigan. You're going to Lake Erie, bitch. And the leprechaun gets banished to Detroit.
He doesn't say bitch.
Nah, he doesn't. It's a Disney movie. Like, but yeah, that's the ongoing joke because he's from Michigan and he's not talking about the Eyrie areas over in Ireland, which is like where the leprechaun would assume the Irish kid is talking about. But he's like, no, I'm from Michigan. You're banished to the land of my people, Michigan. So that's...
I have never heard of this movie either.
It is so good. That and Phantom of the Megaplex are the two best Disney movies ever. Xenon comes in third.
I was going to say Xenon is the top.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
You're wrong.
It was for a long time for me, but the music in it is top, but everything else is just meh. All right. You ready to learn about torture devices? I've tortured you guys enough with this intro. Bada bum. Was that good? Did you like it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm ready to hear you talk French to me.
Only the first one is.
Okay.
Yeah, we are going all over the world. We're going to do a few different ones. So we're going to talk about torture devices. And there are a few different museums of torture devices. So if you've been to one, congrats. You're living my life or my dream.
What's the one that we want to go to?
The one up in Chicago?
Is it Chicago? There's no, further away.
Oh, the one down in Tennessee.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. There's one in Tennessee. It's not too far from Gatlinburg. There's one up in Chicago somewhere. No, nope. That's
Illinois.
No, it's not Chicago. The Chicago one is out in Schaumburg, and it's a Nazi World War II history one.
That's it.
That's the one. And then out in the Wisconsin Dells, there's the really cool Ripley's that does have some torture devices.
That's what I was thinking, too.
But in Tennessee also is the one that has the Titanic one. Which, yep. I came across a TikTok of it last night and I was like, oh, look, Margie, here's that Titanic one. But now I feel stupid constantly telling her that I want to go to the Titanic place, knowing she's never seen Titanic.
She's never.
No.
What?
Shady, right?
How?
I don't know. She has terrible taste. She's the worst.
I don't understand.
I love her. So we're going to first do the oubliettes. So I put pictures in the, so normally, you guys, I tell you about the pictures. So you guys see the pictures on Instagram. I see the pictures because I post them. Kylie never fucking sees anything. And she's just raw dogging all this.
Just hanging out.
That's why when I describe things, I have to describe it so well. Unless I see her pick up her phone to maybe Google it. And I have to like warn her, like, go Google that. But this time for this episode, I put pictures in it so that Kylie can help me describe these. So the oubliette. The term oubliette is French in origin. It comes from the French verb oublier, which means to forget. That's literally what this is. So the oubliette was given its name because it's a type of dungeon with zero light entering it, and it's enterable only through a trap door in the roof. And then they'll just, you know, throw the victim in this and then forget about them. That's it.
Oh,
yep. Okay. So
no food, no
nothing.
Just here's your pit.
And here's the thing, they're like tall. Some of them would be up to like 10 to 12 feet. So when you get thrown in it, you can't like even attempt to escape. You just can stand there and stare up at this entrance that you can't get to. Now, since the oubliette was only accessible through the hatch that was really high up, it would literally be like a dungeon that you are stuck in. Okay. But also the space is really small and narrow. Like it's not much bigger than you. So once you get thrown in there, you usually can't move around, lift your arms. You can't sit down. You can't kneel. You can't do anything. So you're just literally left to stand there.
You can't sit?
No.
I would like, sit.
It's too narrow. Most times a person couldn't get their knees up and stuff to sit down. And most times the person inside would just be suffering, begging to actually die at this point. Now, because the shape of them, they're also sometimes called bottle dungeons, which makes sense also. And unlike a stereotypical dungeon, which you like always imagine being in like the basement of a castle and being like, you know, like its own thing, the oubliettes weren't like that. They were built right into the walls of upper floors and stuff and right where like other people existed. And you're like, what?
So you can like hear people, but you can't do anything about it.
Yep.
Love that.
It was specifically so that they were surrounded by the noises and signs of life while they slowly were dying down in this hole. And gross. That wasn't even the worst part. Sometimes they purposely put the oubliette in a place to like drag out your death and make it excruciating. They would like put the oubliette next to the kitchen. So
stop
that,
it.
Yeah.
So that you could smell all of the food.
Yeah. You had to smell all the food while you were down there starving to death, going insane, going mad, starving, just being miserable.
So what would you do? Like, what would your offense be to get thrown into an oubliette?
It could be anything. Treason. It could be like you went against the lord of the manor or the castle. There were any reason they technically wanted, but it was a pretty serious thing. Like, you didn't get down there just for stealing something once. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty like high up type of offense. Okay.
Okay.
Now, sometimes if the person like the lord of the castle or manor wanted to elongate the person's death, they would throw down just enough food or drink for this person to survive and just keep them alive longer so that they suffered longer. Now, also, you have to think of how someone's getting put in this. You're probably not getting put in this very willingly. So they would kind of like throw people down the oubliette. So your bones would break on the impact of arriving at the bottom of this like brick type thing or like concrete structure and breaking some of your bones. That's another form of torture. You would snap part of your leg and then you're left to stand there on your snapped leg for however long it takes till you die.
That was kind of like my idea, because like if it's really that small, like you could like, you know, like push yourself
up and trying to walk
and like
up it.
Scooch up. Yeah. I mean, it would be a problem.
But then
once
you would
got
be locked
up there.
In there.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, I know. But I mean, if you got something.
If you could walk up it almost. Yeah. And you would think that. But then sometimes they made it so you can't do that. They would put spikes or jagged rocks at the bottom so that when you get down there, you're like stuck down there because you got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If that wasn't enough, there was also the idea of people didn't clean these.
Gross.
So once you were thrown down there, you might be standing on the remains of some other rotting body parts, some bones or whatever was left over from a previous person that had been thrown in the oubliette.
I say let's bring them back and put anyone that like rapes anyone or
what are those people abuse. That like too young of people? Pedophiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's put pedos in them.
Yep.
And also, because of all these rotting body parts and stuff, there was a bunch of vermin and rats that would try and get down there to eat, obviously. So you're also like your roommate is a rat that is trying to eat you alive.
And eat the we'd stuff become down friends. There. We'd become friends.
He would actually help me escape.
Yeah.
As a result of all this, many of the remaining oubliettes, because there are still some, they still exist. They haven't been torn down or anything because they're still in these castles. And these castles exist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them that have been discovered in manors and castles have had skeletal remains of assorted victims with bones in them that were never removed. Like,
gross.
Still.
Yeah.
This form of torture was mostly used in the Middle Ages, and oubliettes were popular during the High Middle Ages and Late Middle Ages, mostly between 11,000 AD and 1500 AD.
1100.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I tried.
Very different.
It just doesn't 11, sound like
1000 AD.
I thought I said 100. Those don't sound like real years.
Nope.
For instance, the famous Bastille prison in Paris, they have an oubliette, as well as some oubliettes have been found in castles across the English and Irish countryside. The one in the picture specifically that I will probably share to Instagram, but also that Kylie saw at the beginning, is from the Warwick Castle in Warwickshire in the English Midlands. Yeah.
It doesn't even look that small in this picture, but
this one looks really big, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because like it's a 3x3 grate. And okay, with how jagged all these rocks are around it, it does not make me feel safe that the bottom is flat.
No. Yeah, probably not. It's also, probably all like that.
Also, this one looks like it would be built in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is this one?
This one looks like a basement.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a
But maybe this wall. Is off behind some corners of a kitchen, and maybe the kitchen is like almost like a slave quarters or something, and maybe it is near a basement or something, so that the smell's like wafted upwards or something. You never know. I didn't look at a map of the building.
Shame. What? How could you?
Like, do you even do research, Dana? Fuck you. Moving on to the thumb screw.
Don't like that.
It is exactly how it's described, and it's awful. So the thumb screw, it was used first in early modern Europe. They believed these were to crush a person's fingers or thumbs. Exactly like it sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar to the rack, the thing that like everyone knows what it is. So we'll talk about the rack though later. But torturers would employ the thumb screw as a means of punishment to elicit confessions. So this wasn't supposed to kill you, technically. This is meant to torture you. Okay? Because, like, the oubliette, you're supposed to die. Like, that's not torture.
Eventually,
though.
I mean, but, yeah, that's the torture part is eventually.
Yeah. So the thumb screw was also sometimes called the thumbikin, and it has a ton of spelling variations, like 20. Now,
thumbikin.
Thumbikin. kind of like Thumbelina.
But that's exactly what I thought of.
So this device features a metal plate with another metal plate stacked on top of it. Then those are secured together with like a metal screw in the middle. And the metal screw will have like a like a fastener on it. That's the best way I feel like to describe
it. It literally looks like what the like any old cartoon would say is like on the other side of a fastener. Like I think it's in Cinderella with the mice. Like they, like this is how they would like turn something. It's like big round circles. You're gonna see it when, yeah. I'm trying to think of a specific.
I'm so glad that I made you help me with this. It's I'll a literal it tightening, like a screw tightening plate.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. So what they would do is they would take your thumbs or your fingers, stick them between those two layers of plates, and then just start tightening the plates together. Like literally that. These metal plates would just start smashing down on your fingers. And you're like, oh, okay, I can deal with that for a minute. No. They would leave these on you for hours to days just to get the information. And then sometimes when they took them off, they would purposely take a hammer and smash your fingers the rest of the way because they were like, well, you know, we don't want you to think that like you're done. God forbid.
Right.
Now, these crushing bars sometimes also had different things. They would sometimes have sharp metal points in them or ones on the end to puncture through your nails. That's horrific sounding. Anything with my nails, I don't like.
There was this one time that Corey slammed his finger and it was like there was like pus under the nail, and like you either lose the nail or but he had to relieve the pressure, and we were just like sitting there like with a little pin, and we would put it on fire and then just like slowly go into his nail. But once he like got through it, it was like so much relief.
Yeah.
But it was so gross. And it was just like, oh, this is when unnerving.
I was moving into my college dorm and I dropped something on my foot. And for the first, like, it was a full year almost. For the first full year of college, I only had like 6 or 7 toenails. Because they were so bad that my toenails just fell off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm never going to have those again. Luckily, I did not like impugn them for life to make my nails not grow back. But it was this whole fun trick that I had in college was I don't have toenails. Just got little worms hanging on my toes. Ew, no.
Not little worms.
Little worms. Okay. This little piggy has no nails. Yeah, so that's fucked up, but that's a real thing.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine getting those punctures to your nails and then leaving them for hours. Oh, like, you don't watch scary movies, but
nope.
There's this one scary movie.
Well, why did I just forget
Hush?
The only movie that I like. Hush is one of them. House of Wax.
That's what. That's the movie I'm about to talk about.
No, yes. It's so unnerving. Hate it. Hate it every time I have it. There's
two scenes in House of Wax, and both of them just, ugh.
Yep.
The Achilles heel.
Yep.
Hate that.
Yep.
They snip him with scissors, but then there's this part where he takes a fucking wire cutter, he uses like a tool from his mechanic shop, and he just snips her finger off.
Yep.
And puts it in his pocket.
Yep.
Oh, it fucks with me.
Yep.
So bad. At the end of this episode, talk about my two biggest fears in movies. I forgot about that one. Three. I got three fears. Fuck. But yeah, sometimes these also would get put on your toes or like on your whole hand and stuff. So like the thumb screws were not just for your thumbs. They are fucked.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
What would you do to get this to happen?
Usually like stealing and stuff like that.
Like something having to do with your hands. Yeah.
Or if they really did just want a confession, because they're like, we'll torture you until we get the confession. You tell us, you know, where you got this plan, where you got this idea, where your treason is. and we won't torture you. Because they knew this wouldn't kill you, so then they could put you back out on the streets. All right, the next one, the tried and true, the rack. I feel like everyone knows what the rack is, but let's talk about it. Because maybe you don't know part of the story of it. The rack was a torture device mostly used in the Tower of London. So the rack is a bed-like open frame suspended above the ground usually, and it is usually already fitted with straps, ropes, or chains on all four ends, because it's like a big, big bed.
We won't go there.
Not the most comfortable bed. Once you get in it, the victim's ankles and wrists are secured by ropes that are then like passed through an axle near the head and foot of the rack. When the axles get turned slowly, usually by poles that are inserted into sockets, the victim's hip, knees, shoulders, and elbow joints will slowly then be dislocated while suffering immensely in the process. I just feel like we're doing a full episode on fucking Saw right now.
I feel like the rack could be great at the beginning. You're like, oh, the first this two probably cranks feels so good.
And then that third crank, you're like, wait, we're done now. And then he's like, no, I got 12 more cranks. And you're like, no, we don't.
Yeah.
No.
Just that first crack when your whole back just like releases.
That'd feel great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Stretch me out like a Laffy Taffy. Some racks also would have pulleys and levers so that the rack could just be put on a roller and like rotate on its own, thus straining the ropes until the sufferer's joints were entirely dislocated and separated, probably killing them.
Yeah, that probably.
That sounds horrific.
I feel like that would suck more than having someone there.
There's a saw trap where the guy essentially is, it's not at all like the rack, but he's in the thing like this. And what they do, I'm sorry, guys, I'm trying my best to describe this. It's one of the later movies. It's after 3, but I can't remember. But all of his, he's spread out like a starfish, right? And there's
like a starfish.
And there's a like a device on each arm, each leg, and his head that's like connected to his neck. And at the same time, all of them start rotating different directions. Oh, I punched the mic. Including his neck.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, like his arms are rotating different directions. Meanwhile, his legs are spinning backwards. And then slowly, you know, all of his bones start popping out and his neck pops. And it's bad. He doesn't get saved.
Clearly.
Yeah, no, that guy fucking dies.
You did.
I think that is the one with the guy with the book, if that helps anyone. The fake guy. There you go. The one with the hooks in his chest. Yeah, you guys know what I'm saying.
I've only seen one and two.
Speaking of, if we're all on the same page, fuck that guy because his wife dies. Do you remember that? And she gets put in the fucking fire and she has to die because he can't fucking do his thing. That's fucked up. Fuck that guy, that cop guy that takes over for Jigsaw, because fuck him, because he doesn't do Saw right. That girl did not deserve to die. She didn't even know her husband was a shady piece of fuck. Fuck the guy that fucking kills her. Fuck that. Okay. I got beef so much.
Clearly.
Every time I think about that specific movie, that is my least favorite Saw movie. Well, Spiral is because it sucks. Come for me if you want. But fuck that guy because he's a fucking fuck and he's a cuck. Fuck that fucking cuck fuck. So angry.
Tell me how you really feel.
Oh my God. I rewatched all of them last year or whatever year Saw 10 came out. And I was watching
that
one
year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, Margie, I fucking hate this movie. And I went on a rant and she's like, you talked more about that one movie than you did like all other 9 combined. I was like, I fucking hate that one. Sorry for anyone that hasn't watched it. The second one, in my opinion, is the best one. The House. And Amanda's in it. Love that one. She gets thrown into the pit of needles. Oh, oh, oh. If you guys ever want to watch something wild, watch how that pit of needles was made. Okay. So the rack. We're back to that.
Right.
Some say the Greeks may have invented the rack. And this is a Shiro episode, guys. I'm sorry.
He's pinned on a rampage.
He said, I'm angry and big and lanky.
I never needed to get a shock collar, but I think we're to that point.
We have that spray collar and it worked pretty well.
Spray?
Yeah. So spray. If you guys don't know, there is an alternative to shock collars. I'll tell you real quick. So this is not sponsored or anything. And clearly, we have
it's fitting that he's just barking all the time.
But our vet talked us into it. It is a spray collar. You don't put it on your dog all the time, just every so often to just remind him that you don't bark that much. And it has a little what looks like a shock device, but it instead has a spray. And usually the scent is citronella because it irritates them without hurting them. And you can put it in front of them so it spritzes their bottom of their neck or spritzes their back and kind of startles them. Mm-hmm. For us, Cow doesn't mind his back. So we have to put it under his jaw so that it spritzes the bottom of his mouth. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But what it does is when it elicits a noise, and you can set it to different things, when he does too many noises, it spritzes him and it kind of like spooks him. And he's like, what the fuck? Oh, that smells bad. Oh, I hate that. And then he won't do it again because he doesn't like that.
Hmm.
We had to use it when he was younger because we had birds that lived on our back porch, and Cow doesn't like the sound of birds. So it helped a lot, and it was not as aggressive as a shock collar. And now he's learned he doesn't like smell of citronella, though, also. So even when we have citronella candles, Cow does not fuck with them, which is really nice. Like, he's like, fuck that. That thing means no being loud. And I like being loud. So
interesting.
Just something to look into. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them from dog places. Chewy used to sell them. I don't know if they do anymore because they're kind of expensive for Chewy, and Chewy tries to stay like at a price point average type thing. But yeah, that's an alternative to shock collars if you guys ever want to talk about things like that.
We need something. Because,
or tell us what your guys' method is. How'd you guys get your dogs to not be fucking to annoying?
Shut the fuck up.
We both have very noisy dogs.
Saber's a little angel. She just like sits there and Cow looks. Are
the worst.
Shiro will not stop.
Cow will bark until his voice is lost, literally.
And, like, it's getting nicer outside and people are just walking.
Yeah.
And he judges them.
Yeah, that's our thing. Cow doesn't allow anyone on our property. Luckily, we have a long driveway. But still, like, he doesn't even like a cat walking in our backyard or anything. And you guys all know, you've seen pictures. We have a Dalmatian. And if you guys know anything about Dalmatians, they're noisy dogs. Like, not just like, oh, they bark. Like, when you are sitting on the same couch as Cow, if you even like breathe too hard, he'll be like, row, 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 and he grumbles at you. Or if you like move near him, he grumbles. He also like purrs like a cat and stuff like that. Like, and people think I'm making this up. My mom didn't know it happened, and then my mom house sit for us for 3 days while we were in Kansas, and my mom's like, your dog never shuts the fuck up. He's like grumbling or talking or making noise every moment. And I was like, yeah, he's vocal. Yeah, that's what they do. She's like, I've never heard a dog do this. So yeah, if you guys have tips, let us know.
Sorry if that sounded like ass, because
yeah, because we had a barking dog in the background.
Yeah.
But it's a short story, so it's a fun episode where we go off the rails anyways, and you guys know that. And that's our own form of torture that we deal with every day, is our dog screaming at us nonstop. So
that's fitting.
Back to the rack. I like saying back to the rack. It sounds
back
fun.
Back to the rack.
It sounds like it's like a cool thing, but it's not.
It's not. No. It's not,
you know. Some say the Greeks may have invented the rack, is where we left off. They say it might have been for collecting information and torturing slaves. That's what all these things are for, essentially.
Right.
But there are also stories that the rack may have been used even earlier, back in Christian days, such as it was used on St. Vincent in 304 AD. It was also mentioned by church fathers in 420 AD. So that's not good.
No.
But Christians are so good. I don't get it.
Don't go there.
So back to the rack. The rack was most commonly introduced during the Tower of London, which, if you don't know what the Tower of London is, it is a royal palace that actually serves as a prison, which sounds terrifying. It was mostly between the years 1420 to 1450, where the Duke of Exeter had it installed in the castle. So the torture rack was known also as the Duke of Exeter's daughter. It was operated by the Yemen warders, which, if you don't know what those are, they are pretty much like the Duke, King, Castle guys. Like, what are those guys?
Minions.
Yeah, no, not where I was going to go. I was going to go Britain, like the King's Guards.
Oh, yeah. The ones that they can't move, like,
talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what these were. But they were the inside house ones. So like these ones were the King's Guards that worked inside that could talk and stuff, and they would torture you.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These men would extract confessions or incriminating information from anyone that was a suspected traitor, heretic, or conspirator.
Conspirator? Conspirator?
No, conspirator.
Conspirator.
I think I was trying to say conspiracy, and it just didn't come out right. And it's funny because I kind of paused and I was like, I feel like I said the wrong thing. And I was like, maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. Yeah. I really definitely said the right thing. And I like hesitated. I was like, all right, whatever. That's why I didn't move on yet, was because I was like, if I said it wrong, Kylie would correct me. Yeah. But you didn't. And I was like,
what did I had say? To think about it, too. Sometimes it takes me a second.
Conspirator.
Like, wait a second.
Yep. There was one famous victim. It was the English writer and Protestant preacher named Anne Protestant.
What's wrong with you?
Protest. I wanted to say protesting. It's a Protestant.
Protestant.
I love when I talk. That's okay. What did I one time call a Presbyterian? I was like, the Presbastin or something. And someone was like, what? And I was like, I was raised Presbyterian, so I don't know what happened there. I don't know what that was. They're like, I thought maybe you'd just never seen the word before. I was like, nah, I've dealt with it my whole life, actually.
My brain just didn't brain. Not quite.
I don't know how to read. It's the whole reading thing all over again. So Anna Screw, she was in 1546, a Yemen warder had actually tortured Anna Screw. That sounds like I'm saying it wrong. A skew?
And a skew.
It still sounds like fake.
It does.
It doesn't sound right. She was tortured on the rack and asked to name her Protestant sympathizers. After she refused to do so, the officials actually burned her at the stake. So
I feel like that's worse.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Tortured on the rack and then burned at the stake.
I don't know. I feel like fire very much hurts. Like,
Yeah. Like that one movie in Saw where the wife, no, we're not doing it again. I could just go on. The sad part is after the rack, the torture made her unable to walk. So they actually had to carry her over to the stake where they burned her to execute her because she couldn't even walk there herself. Which,
well, yeah, that makes sense.
The name Anna Screw, how it sounds really fake. Do you want to know a famous person that also sounds like they have a fake name? Her name is Anne Twist. Doesn't that sound like a fake name?
Yeah.
It's Harry Styles' mom.
Anna Screw. I just feel like. I don't know. I feel like it's wrong.
But his name would have been Harry Twist if he kept his mom's name. I don't know. It just sounds funny. Harry Styles sounds famous. Harry Twist sounds like a really bad author. So, moving on.
It does.
Because Oliver Twist. Yeah. I think that's why. Okay. There was another recorded incident of the rack. It was in 1615. A clergyman named Edmund Peacham. He was accused of high treason and he was racked.
Racked.
Racked sounds like a bad thing to get done. Like, you're going to the rack. That sounds rough. But then being like, you're getting racked. That sounds bad. No, actually, it kind of sounds sexual. Like, you're getting railed.
Yeah.
You're getting railed or racked.
Yeah, the first one sounds scarier than the second one.
Yeah, it wasn't until I said it in the context. There were similar devices that were used, like the rack, in Ireland. In Ireland in the 17th century and then later in Portugal. In 1628, the question of the rack's legality was finally raised. In 1628, they were like, maybe this is wrong. They said,
it's 200 years later, but it's fine.
It's fine. They were like, it might be contrary to the laws, so it needs to be over with. Like, the laws of, like, deserving a fair legal, like, way to die that isn't, like, inhumane. Yeah, they thought, like, maybe this isn't the most humane way.
Maybe.
But the previous year, there was the rack used again in Ireland. So, like, Ireland was like, isn't that bad? And then in 1679, so, like, 50 years later, a man was threatened with the rack again in England. They were like, oh, we'll bring it back. So
that inhumane thing we were doing.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The next one. This one is hard to describe. Okay. This is called the Scavenger's Daughter. When you look at it, it kind of looks like a metal frame of the letter A with like a rod at the bottom. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You're getting put in this. You see those shackles at the bottom? Those are going to be like your legs. And then the big bulbous part at the top is your head. And then those nubs are your arms. So this is the anti-rack. And you're wondering why I say that, but I'll tell you why.
It looks like a stick figure wearing a dress.
Yep. It kind of looks like, oh my God, what is the one cryptid where they were the white
blobs
running around? The Fresno Nightcrawlers.
Yes. Yes.
It looks like a Fresno Nightcrawler made out of metal.
It does, yeah.
So the scavenger's daughter is also known as the Skirvington's Gyves.
Skevington's
Gyves.
Or Gyves? Gyves. Isn't that Gyves?
I don't know.
English is fucking hard.
It's also called the Iron Shackle, the Stork, or a Spanish A-frame. But there's another thing that's called the Spanish A-frame, too. So just, yeah, be mindful.
Well, and then there's A-frames.
The house?
Yeah, like okay. Like regular A-frame. Yeah.
So this torture device was invented after or during the reign of Henry the 567th of England. That was a hard one. Sorry. Henry the 7th. It was Roman numerals, guys. Yeah. You gotta count while I'm doing it.
You gotta do the math.
The device consists of a metal rack shaped into an A-frame. The victim's head strapped to the top point of the A, the hands at the midpoint, and the legs in the lower spread-ins, like I described, but that described it better. The frame then would fold, swinging the head down, forcing the knees up into a sitting position, and then compressing the body to force your blood to hit your nose and ears. So see, the rack is all about stretching you out. This is the exact opposite. This device was meant to complement the rack because it's the opposite principle. So you're compressing your body rather than stretching it and causing a new sort of damage. If you need to, you can look up what it looks like because they'll also show you pictures of it being done. But you end up curled up in a ball, in a sense, kind of, but right. With like a metal frame around you. The compression from the scavenger's daughter would be so intense. It would apparently cause the victim to start bleeding from the nose, mouth, and other parts of the body. And then it would end up killing you because you're like,
so is it like bleeding. Fast?
I don't
I'm confused. I'm going to have to watch videos of how it works.
I didn't watch a video. Oh, I would not do that.
I mean,
I just looked at pictures.
An info video, not one.
Well, yeah, but still. During the 16th and 17th century, the Yemen warders at the Tower of London would use the scavenger's daughter as a torture device. Also, essentially, just don't do anything in London and don't get sent to the Tower of London.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
If you're getting sent to the Tower of London, run. Only advice.
Get out.
The best documented use of this was against an Irishman named Thomas Mike.
Yeah.
He was charged with being in contact with the rebels of Ireland. So they did this to him and they compressed him. But another victim of the scavenger's daughter was Thomas Cottam, an English Catholic priest, and he was a martyr from Lancashire. He suffered it twice just for torture. They never wanted to kill him. And in the 1580s, before being released, he had it done like a second time. So he gets it done twice. Also in the 1580s, there was another priest that was subject to this device. So like another guy. Which that, I feel like that just sounds wrong to like torture a priest.
Right. Like, what'd you do?
Like, well, what? It's a priest.
Right.
That kind of makes sense. Back then, they thought priests did a lot of bad stuff if something happened wrong.
Maybe.
The next one, the Brazen Bull. A lot of you guys have heard about this because it was memes mostly in the past few years talking about it. The Brazen Bull, also known as the Bronze Bull, Sicilian Bull, or the Bull of Phalaris. It was an alleged torture and execution design that was a device designed by the ancient Greek people. So the Brazen Bull is a mythological torture device, apparently. We don't think it actually existed. It was supposedly used by Phalaris, a tyrant who ruled in a part of Sicily in the 6th century BCE. It consists of a life-size bronze bowl that is hollowed out on the inside and has a door on the outside at the top, usually. The torturer would place the victim inside, lock the hatch, and then light a fire under the bronze bowl, which would start roasting the victim to death.
That would suck.
The worst part was the head of the bowl was purposely designed with a system of tubes and stops so that the prisoner's screams were converted into sounds like a bellowing, infuriated bull to like make it into a show.
That's horrendous. Yeah.
The tales of the bull didn't end with Phalaris, though. Stories tell us the bull was then supposedly taken by the
Carthaginians.
When they sacked Arachagus in 406 BCE. Then later, it was taken by the Romans when they conquered Carthage. Thadge. Carthage. Carthage. Carthage! It's said that the bull was eventually destroyed, although there's no archaeological evidence that even supports that the claim of the bull existed or was destroyed, really. So that's why we think it's mythological. It just sounds like a really scary device.
Mythical.
That's what they use to describe it. Mythical.
You know, you say, you keep saying mythological and it says mythical.
Do I do that every time? Yeah. How funny.
But I still feel like this could definitely exist.
Yeah, this is fucked up enough. I mean,
especially
they
made, with like
they
the,
built a giant horse.
That's what I was gonna say.
They built a giant horse. You don't think they can build a fucking bronze bowl?
Yeah, I feel like it's something that they would just be like, all right, so hear me out.
And also, this is the Italians. They got the mafia and shit. They definitely built a giant fucking metal bowl.
Let's build a bowl and put a person inside of it and use it for torture.
But we'll make it into a show. You know, we're not gonna just make it boring, guys.
No.
Who's the sound guy? Who's the soundboard guy? Come on, we got a job for you, soundboard guy.
Science.
They're like, who's the bard of the city? We're going to make him help us build it. So the story of Phalaris and the Brazen Bull comes from the Greek historian Diodorus Siculus, who lived about 500 years after these events had taken place, and he told the story of the Brazen Bull. Okay?
Okay.
And the story, which an Italian poet and philosopher named Dante references in The Inferno.
You mean Dante's Inferno?
Yes. Is where this like gets talked about the most. So that's why they also think it could all be a myth, is because all this is like referenced so much later. The concept of the Brazen Bull resurfaces, though, in the Middle Ages and the early modern period of Europe. This is how the story of the concept of the Iron Maiden gets to like, you know what the Iron Maiden is, right? Mm-hmm. So they think that the stories of the Brazen Bull brought about how they concocted and made the Iron Maiden. And that's an alleged torture device that consists of an iron cabinet with a hinged front and a spiked covered interior that reflects the same principles as the bull, just without fire.
Yeah, they seem, I would never put those two together at all.
No, I wouldn't either, really. To me, I would think this sounds stupid, but I'm being serious. I feel like the Iron Maiden, if anything, would have came about with the fear of vampirisms and stuff, because like the concept of almost like you don't want like a coffin, like it's coffin-y, you know what I mean?
It is, yeah.
So I'd be like, how can you torture someone in a coffin? Oh, let's just put spikes in it. There we go. Like that's kind
and
of
lock
how
them
it
in there and make it tighter and tighter.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's how it would have came about if I would think of it. I know that sounds kind of like almost like a joke, but I'm being serious. Being buried alive sounds awful. Did you ever watch that movie Buried with Ryan Reynolds?
No, but Corey did, and he talks about it, and he's like, I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah, I've seen it 3 times, and it's just as bad every single time. Every single time I think it's going to end differently. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
No, like, it ends the same every time. And, like, I remember the first time I ever watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, the entire movie is just him buried in a coffin.
Which is impressive. 2 hours. Like, I mean...
Yeah, like there, and the thing is he has a phone with him. So like you think like at some point they might cut to the other people on the phone. No, like it's just Ryan Reynolds in a box.
He can't.
It's
call
so
out, right?
Fucked up. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. No, he can't. He does eventually, kind of.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a fucked up movie. You should watch it. You should
watch it. We'll see.
You want to hear something that sounds really old? The first time I watched it, I had to rent it from a Family Video.
I like how Family Video is now old. Like Blockbuster was the old, and now Family Video is old.
Hollywood Video is old.
Can't even.
I have a Hollywood Video t-shirt. People always call me old when I wear it. My Lord of the Rings one that says, "Welcome to Hollywood Video. Do you want to rent Lord of the Rings?" And everyone's like, "Jesus, how old is that shirt?" I'm like, old. Very old, brother. Like over 20 years old,
brother.
The next one is the collar. And no, we're not talking about those cute little collars that seen kids put on their significant other to prove that they love them. This is scary. So this is sometimes referred to as the spiked punishment collar, the infernal collar, or the iron collar. The collar itself is embedded with spikes on the inside as well as the outside. The collar would be fastened with ropes into corners of a room, and then the person would be like, hey, go enter this room where that collar is in the middle of the room, right? Okay.
So I wouldn't. I would just not. And be like, nah, I'm good.
I'm good, thanks. It doesn't go with this outfit. The victim would then be led into the middle of the room where the collar would then be fitted on them. And it's like suspended kind of in the air most times. So then what they did was they left it suspended and they said, okay, bye. And they would leave you in that room. So what would happen is every time you even shift and slightly move, it would start impaling you on your neck, your shoulders, your face, wherever the spike would connect with you. And another thing is you're left standing there with this. Eventually your legs are going to give out is their goal. And then you're going to like crumble and this is going to stab you in your neck and kill you.
Because it's like,
yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
And another thing, this thing would weigh 5 kilograms. That's like 11 pounds. Dang. 11 pounds just sitting on your neck.
I mean, it's iron.
Yeah.
It's gonna.
After wearing it and enduring the pain, the victim would have no help for their wounds. So if you did end up somehow living, if they take it off you or something, usually you would spread gangrene. You would get feverish blood poisoning or erosion of your bones. And it would also lead to death.
That sounds.
So even if you survive, you're going to die.
Right.
Have you ever seen gangrene in real life?
Not in real life.
You smelled it? Oh, God, it's foul.
I hope I never do.
Ugh, it's just so bad. It's worse than... Actually, I don't know. I don't know which is worse, mange or gangrene, but they're both pretty foul.
Mm-hmm.
They're awful. Originally, the collar was used for the torture of prisoners, and then it kind of became means for an execution because the abrasions and piercings would become infected and people would die or lapse into a coma. So this isn't one you'd survive either.
Hmm. I guess I would just hope for a coma
right?
Or like hurt myself enough to go into a coma and just.
I do not want to die of like a blood poisoning.
Ugh. No. Yeah, I would probably just kill myself at that point because. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Regardless.
The next one is the strappado.
I love it.
So this one is also sometimes very rarely called a Spanish A-frame, but mostly it's called the strappado. Or the corda, or a reverse hanging. It's a torture device with 3 different variations. So let's talk about them. In the first version, victims will have their arms tied behind their backs, where a large rope is then tied to their wrist and passed over a pulley system, a beam, or a hook in like a roof or like a tall structure they build. And then the torturer will pull on this rope until the victim is hanging by their arms. Since the hands are tied behind their back, this will cause a very intense pain and usually will result in dislocating their shoulders at one point.
Yeah, that would hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, with the full weight of their body being supported by this area, they will usually internally rotate their shoulder sockets, causing more pain.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't all sound pretty rough, sometimes they'll just also put weights on you to affect the pain.
Love that.
And increase it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The proper application of the strappado technique will cause permanent damage. While the technique shows no external injuries, it will usually cause long-term nerve, ligament, and tendon damage. So like you get off and they're like, we're going to pop your shoulder back into place. That's fine. That's great. Cool. No, yeah, you're fucked for life.
Yeah.
The technique will typically cause brachial plexus injuries, which will lead to paralysis or loss of sensation in your arms forever.
That would suck.
Prolonged suspension will also cause infarction
mm-hmm.
of the muscles of the shoulder and chest wall and subsequently
rhabdomyolysis. I just said it. Rhabdomyolysis. It's kidney injury.
Yep. Acute kidney injuries and eventually death.
Kidney injury.
Yeah.
That's weird that that's what it causes.
Yeah. The second variation is sometimes called squastion. There's so many S's. So many S's all over the place.
So many S's. Squastation.
It's similar to the first, but it's a series of drops that are added.
Nope.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
But they purposely don't ever let you drop all the way to the bottom. They check you with the rope each time. So
that would hurt, but also be terrifying.
Oh my God.
Like you're about to hit the ground and you just.
And then it just stops, jolts you back up. And then they, oh, fuck me.
No, thank you.
In addition to the damage that's caused by the suspension, the painful jerks will cause major stress to the extended and vulnerable arms and lead to broken shoulders, usually. I don't know how you don't just snap your neck. Fuck me. Fuck, that hurts.
Yeah, I'm sure it would hurt. Like,
oh my God. I would pass out.
A whiplash going down.
Like, do you know those rides at fairs where it's like a slingshot?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck no.
I don't.
That no. is. Oh my fuck. Oh my.
I went on the Tower of Terror once, and I will never do it again.
The Tower of Terror is not as bad. I don't like drops. Like the
Tower of Terror is not as bad. I don't like drops.
Okay.
The fuck.
The Tower of Terror. I did it when I was young, so I could handle it. And nowadays, I am too smart for that shit. I will never do a drop ride like that, and I will never do a slingshot ride. I will ride every roller coaster 35 times every single day because at least if I die, I'm having fun. But those two things are not fun.
No.
If I die, I'm dying in misery.
And terrified.
They don't even... People like... I hate those videos where people like pass out on them and they're just like multiple
times.
Ugh, it makes me feel sick.
Yeah, multiple times. I'm just like... Could you imagine what that feels like?
Margie and I were at Cedar Point and she like looked at it and there was like this 8-year-old fucking child going on. And they're like, this is my third time today. I was like, cool. We're riding the little kid's octopus ride right now. Yeah. And we literally were. We were in line for a children's ride. And yeah. I was like, we're going to do this. And Margie was like, if you go on it, I'll go on it with you. It's not that bad. And I was like, fuck you. I would break up with you before I go on that. You fucking know. Fuck you. Dead ass. I think I would put myself in cardiac arrest doing it.
Oh yeah, probably. You probably have a seizure or something.
I genuinely would, because the one time I rode that fucking the drop when I was a little bit older, I hyperventilated so bad that when the ride ended, I passed out.
Mm-hmm.
As it was done.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get off the ride because I passed out. Because I was so scared that I survived it and it was going to cause like damage.
I'm damaged.
Or like that video of that girl that gets her hair ripped out doing it. No, fuck me. No, fuck me. Fuck though. No. Okay, moving on.
Nobody needs these things.
No.
Like, we don't need them.
What is that one? Go ride the hash pipe. That thing's fun. You're on a giant skateboard and you spin around a bunch and sometimes kids throw up. I've watched it. It's fun. Not the throwing up. No. I meant the ride itself is fun. Or like go ride a wooden roller coaster if you want to feel like you're dying. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Because those things creak like you're fucking going to just skedaddle off of it.
Sorry. Skedaddle?
I'm sorry. It's like skedaddle.
You're just skedaddling off.
I said it. Instant regret because I knew Kylie would focus on it. I was like, no. Why'd it come out of my mouth?
It's so funny though. It's the best word ever invented.
Zany is.
No, I'm going to skedaddle over here.
In the third variant version of the strappado, the victim's hands are tied in the front this time. Okay. The victim's then also still hung from their hands, but usually the ankles are tied to a heavy weight attached. This will also cause pain and possible damage not only to the arms, but to the legs and hips.
I feel like that's still better.
That's better than the dropping.
And your arms are like this, and they'll. Ow.
Yeah, behind me really hurts.
Yeah.
In front of me. So I do want to know, is it like this or is it like this? This I feel like more damage to my shoulders.
Yes.
In front of me, I feel like I can kind of brace my body. You guys don't know what we're talking about. I just realized we are.
It's like
on a podcast.
It's like in front of your chest or like hanging above your head. Yeah. I feel like. It's probably hanging above your head.
You know how we were like, the rack might be good for 2 seconds. Nothing about the strappado sounds good. Not a single moment.
No. Don't like it at all.
No. This is a bad one. There was this one man named Guillermo Savonarola.
Yep.
Who was tortured by the strappado multiple times. Multiple times.
I can't even
do it once. This dude did it multiple times. Well, he didn't like do it on purpose.
Right.
But
he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on this ride.
Good day for strappado. Then he gets burned at the stake. So okay. What is with people being like, the torture's not good enough? Burn them. Fuck. Also, this device was thought to be used during the Salem witch trials in 1692 to torture accused witches out in Salem, Massachusetts.
Don't like that.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Before burning them at the stake.
Yep.
In 1997 and 2003, there were reports of the strappado being used again.
2003?
Yeah, I want that to sink in. 2003. Also in November of 2003, like, I get it, 2003 is 20 years ago, but also that's only 20 years ago, you guys. We were alive. Well, okay, not this one listener that the other day told me they were like 18. I was like, the fuck? Okay. But most of us were alive. And, it was used on a suspected terrorist who was tortured to death at the Abu Ghraib prison during CIA interrogations by members of the U.S. military. So So supposedly the U.S. military used it on people.
Don't like that.
It was revealed in 2005 of February that al-Jamadi had died after 30 minutes of interrogation. And he was apparently suspended by his wrists, bound behind his back in a similar device that they just didn't have a name for. Sounds a little bit like a strapado, if you ask me.
Don't like that at all.
We're not done. Don't you worry. A British man named Richard Belmar stated that he was repeatedly subjected to the torture method of a strapado as punishment during his extrajudicial detention at the Parwan detention facility in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2005. Also, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like, and I might be making this up, Kylie can look it up if she doesn't want to trust me, but I feel like Richard Belmar ended up going to, what's that place? It's a really intense prison that's in off the coast of California.
Mm.
What is that place called? Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he got sentenced to Guantanamo Bay and died there for something else. I'm thinking this is the same guy because I feel like I heard about it, but I might be wrong, but I'm like 90% sure. Anyways, in 2017,
still don't like that.
There was video footage that was released of Iraqi army members that were inflicting strapado torture following the successes of the Battle of Mosul. So like they were taking POWs and doing it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're really going to hate this.
Mm-hmm.
In March of 2023,
mm-hmm.
last year,
mm-hmm.
the European Court of Human Rights found Ukraine.
Human rights. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. They found Ukraine in violation of the prohibition against torture, alleging that the police were using strapados to coerce prisoner Mykola Slavotsky into falsely confessing his guilt for two murders that another person had previously confessed to committing, and they had like caught him.
This world we live in, guys, just.
And the police were using it.
Right. Like it's nope. Mm-hmm.
Those were so many hard words to say in one sentence. So I'm sorry how many of them I messed up, especially that name. I feel like I messed up a lot of stuff.
I think you got it.
The next one.
Don't like this one.
I like this one. I was just about to say this is my favorite one on the page.
I mean, it looks.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. If you like A24 films, this one's for you.
I haven't seen Midsommar.
Ugh.
I know.
Can I tell you who this is?
No.
The actor, I mean. Can I tell you the actor?
Sure.
Well, I don't know his name. Archie Mattaquy. It's Archie Mattaquy.
That doesn't help me.
Farley. Saltburn.
Oh.
If you insist. That guy.
Fucking love him.
Yeah, it's him.
I mean.
Midsommar. He's in Midsommar.
He,
you know, like everyone knows everyone dies in Midsommar, so I'm not like spoiling anything.
Gran Turismo, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great. I love it. Oh,
God.
He's great.
He's also great.
The fucking one kid's in it. The guy from Anyone But You and Never Have I Ever. I don't know. I just always call him his name in Never Have I Ever, but I can't think of that right now. Yo.
Fucking. Gonna look it up.
It's super Japanese and I'm fucking it up. And
I don't think I've seen either of those movies.
Also. I literally always call him the name of him in this show. Paxton Hall Yoshida.
Oh, okay, cool.
Uh-huh. I call him Paxton Hall Yoshida in real life, even though that is not his name. But that's the only thing I can remember. His real name is much easier to say than that. But I remember Paxton Hall Yoshida more often. Anyway, Archie Mattaquy. Okay, so the Blood Eagle. Potentially mythical. Mythological. You might recognize this thing from the movie Midsommar, an A24 film. This device is, it's not even a device. It's a death. It's not even a torture. Yeah, the kids, well, I'm not going to.
It's torture until you die. Yeah. I mean, technically.
So it's part of a heavy duty Viking brutality ritual, supposedly. The result is the torturer gets, this is so fucked. Okay, so the torturer will take a person, lay them down on their stomach, separating the victim's ribs from their spine by pulling their bones and skin outward to form a set of wings, and then removing their lungs from their chest cavity to like stretch out over them to make them look like they have eagle wings that are bloody, aka the blood eagle.
How does that happen?
Do you want to see, do you Go watch Midsommar.
Maybe I don't want to see that movie.
That is, in my opinion, anyone can say differently, but that is the most heinous part of Midsommar. I know there's the part at the beginning where Florence is like, when she sees it happen, you know, like, I know you guys know what I'm saying, but nah, this part is the absolute fucked for me. I can handle the weird sex things. I can handle the eating of pubes, but this thing got me fucked, bro.
I feel like I don't want to watch that movie.
It's a weird ass movie. I like the whole concept of the nighttime day, though. That's really cool. I want to see that in my life. That'd be really nice. I love Florence as an actress, so I'm going to see everything she's ever in. And fuck, this is such a good role. I love this movie. And I know someone that did the outfits, the bear and the dress, the summer mistress dress, whatever it's called. And whew. So experts have long debated whether the blood eagle was a literary trope that was just like used to scare people, or if it was an actual punishment that actually happened. Because if the Vikings did perform the blood eagle, it means the Middle Ages were even more brutish, nasty, and dark than we ever thought. But they're kind of how stereotypes suggested, because the Vikings, people think, are like, haha, the Vikings. No.
No, Vikings, no, they don't fuck around. I just feel terrifying. Like it's, yeah, I feel, I'd believe it.
Yeah.
I believe that it's pretty, pretty dark.
I read, you guys know I read fan fiction. I read a Viking fan fiction, and genuinely, it made me feel sick. Some of the gore that was in it. And I was like, oh my God, I thought this was going to be like cute kind of in some parts. No, it was genuinely not.
People going for a voyage.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
No, the Viking sagas detail blood eagle as being the most painful and terrifying torture method ever imagined.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're pulling my bones out from the places that they're not supposed to be and sticking them out of my back, I'm sure that's very, very painful.
One of the earliest accounts that they thought the use of the blood eagle happened was to have potentially occurred in 867.
I felt like that was a typo. Like, that's not a what?
Yeah, 867.
No. Okay.
It had began a few years before when Eala, the king of Northumbria, which is present day North Yorkshire of England, fell victim to a Viking attack. So Eala killed the king Viking leader Ragnar Lothbrok by throwing him into a pit of live snakes.
That is how I do not want to die.
None of these are.
But live snakes? Oh, God, no.
In revenge, I would cuddle them before I die. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
In revenge, Lothbrok's sons then invaded England in 865. Because of it, they invaded in 865. Okay. So then the Danes captured York. This sounds so like fake, everything I'm saying, I feel like. Yeah. And then one of Lothbrok's sons named Ivar the Boneless made it a point to be like, I want to kill Aella because of what he did to my dad.
Right.
Okay. So he captures Aella and he's like, we're going to do this super insane torture. And the first blood eagle takes place.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So when this is happening, usually the victim's hands and legs were tied to prevent escaping or sudden movements. And then the person that would be seeking the vengeance would stab the victim in their tailbone, moving the sharp object, because knives didn't really exist back then. So you're thinking of like potentially even like a sharp rock type project. And then they pull it upwards towards the rib cage. And then each rib is meticulously slowly separated from the backbone with an axe. And then they leave the victim's internal organs on full display. The victim is said to have tried to remain alive throughout the entire procedure.
Try to?
Yeah.
Why would you try to?
Well, like they didn't try. Like they would try to keep them alive.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What's worse is then the victims would sometimes literally rub salt in the gaping wounds to try to have a saline stimulant.
Vikings.
What did I say?
Victims.
Oh, sorry. Vikings. Jesus Christ. That's just.
That's worse. That's
you're such a fucking monster.
Don't like that.
Yeah. So when I was thinking, that's all of them for today, folks. So when I was thinking about them, I ended on that note. I was thinking and I was like, what are two like tortury things that I've seen that like fucked me up. And this was before Kylie reminded me of the House of Wax.
All of those are definitely on mine.
And there were two things as a kid. One a few years ago, but one as a kid really fucked me up. And I think about this all the time. I think
we've already talked about this in this podcast.
I think we have too. So I was 11 years old and I saw this movie in theaters. It was Too Fast, Too Furious. And there's this scene where there is a cop, a detective, and they bring him in and they are torturing him. And they put a rat on his stomach with a metal bucket over it. And then they put a torch to the top of the bucket and they start scratching at his stomach. The whole scene is like a minute long in the movie. It's not even a long scene. And really, they don't even do it that long. They just do it until he's like, I'll do it. And then they pull up the bucket and there's just a few scratches and bites. Like, it's not even that horrendous, but it's the concept of what would happen that gets me.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they're telling him like the rat has nowhere to go. If the bucket is what's hot, he's going to tunnel. So right. He is going to eat through you and kill you. And I'm like, oh my fuck. I was 11 yeah. years old. I was not prepared. I thought I was just going to go see a fun car film, see some vroom vrooms. And then I see this. Some vroom vrooms. Fuck, you got me fucked up, Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
That really fucked with me. Okay. Then there's this other one. Whenever people ask me the most gruesome thing I have ever seen in a horror film, this is the first thought I have. I have seen the Poughkeepsie tapes. I have seen Suspiria. I have seen so much fucked up shit, you guys. Poughkeepsie tapes might be one of the worst, in my opinion. This scene, just watching it happen, because you have to watch it from the victim's point of view. So there's this Netflix movie. It's called Apostle. And in this film, I'm not going to give everything away, but I am going to tell you about this scene real quick. It's in the midway of the movie. What happens is a boy knocks a girl up and the girl's father was in love with her. And he finds out that she is going to run away with this boy. And so the father comes in the house and he stabs the daughter and the daughter starts dying. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I can't rape my daughter anymore. And he's also, I think, the clergyman and like the priest of the village. So then he's like, oh, my God, my daughter is dying, being stabbed to death. The boyfriend did it. We need to go get that kid and purify him because he committed a sin against God by murdering my daughter. So they take this child. He is a child, nonetheless. He is like 13 in the movie, I think, maybe 16 at the most. They strap him down to this wooden table and they are like, we are going to now purify you. And they strap him super tight. And then they take and they put some metal plates on the sides of his head and start spinning the metal plates to crunch his brain until he starts bleeding internally while screwing a screw into the side of his or the back of his head, I think. And you have to be in his point of view and you're hearing the crunching of his own brain while watching his vision start flooding with blood as he's like looking up and seeing this father's eyes like smiling down at him and stuff. And then when it's all done, they unscrew it and they put a flower in its head and they're like, now you're purified. You belong with God. Now you're a good person again. So if you want to go date my daughter, you can now. Oh, wait, you're dead.
Wow.
I was sick with like, oh, my God. I don't know, like laryngitis or something at the time when I watched this.
Like literally sick.
Yeah. I was like actually sick with a cold. And I was like, oh, this new scary movie came out and it's about like the concept of purifying and stuff like that. And it's very spooky and it's on this like mysterious island and all this stuff is happening. And it's like kind of Midsommar, you know, but this was before Midsommar. And all the commercials made like the trailers made it look not super crazy. And I was like, I'm going to watch this. Right. I was eating so much vegan chicken noodle soup at the time and stuff. And I was eating while I watched this scene and I got sick because I could not physically handle it. And so still to this day, this scene, because I always think about that, makes me feel queasy. It makes me feel bad. I've had so many friends be like, you told me this movie was weird. Let's watch it. I have never gotten through the scene without having to close my eyes. Like this scene did a number on my brain for all of time. Don't like it. Fucked up. So when I think of torture devices, I think of that specific thing and how much I am scared of torture devices, because I also am deeply rooted in like thinking like most and all torture devices are meant to kill you. They are not meant to actually just torture you. They are meant to murder. I genuinely think that. So
they're meant to like put you to that
place.
Brink. The yeah, only one the I think I could survive is the thumbscrew. And even then, I feel like my hands would be so fucked, I would like develop a disease and die. So I'm scared of them. I want to go see some in real life. Be scared.
Well, yeah. I want to learn about them in real life.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So, Kylie, what do you think about all of these? And
I don't watch scary movies because I'm a wuss-puss.
I know. I want you to watch this scene. Just this scene?
No.
But fuck, is it? It sucks. Everyone else is going to be like, it's not even that bad. Nah, bitch. I've watched all the Saws and somehow this is more gory to
me. Yeah. So, like, all of the Saws make me really, really, really uncomfortable. I have seen a couple of them.
What?
I've seen two. I'm not going to do it again.
You've watched the Saws?
Yeah.
I assume the first one.
Well, one of my best friends, Carissa, came with.
Carissa?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Came with to go see Saw with all of us. And that was, yeah, no, I will never do that again. I had friends over when I saw Paranormal Activity. That movie fucks me up. I am just the biggest wuss-puss. Too Fast, Too Furious with the rat bucket. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. And then those two scenes that you said in House of Wax, those were like my
awful.
Really anything that is just like fingers, just not here for it. Honestly,
I don't like anything where I could hear a crunch. That's why I was so scared to get my conch pierced, because everyone told me it crunches. I was like, I will think I'm being tortured. I will go in fight or flight and like punch someone.
Just deck your piercer.
The piercer goes down. Sorry, Mariah.
Oh, that's funny. Don't like waterboarding. That seems horrible.
Would you rather die by drowning or burning? And you have to. You have to pick one. You can't be like, neither.
Drowning.
Really?
Yeah. Would you pick fire?
No, I think I'd pick drowning. I would much rather drown.
I mean,
would you rather drown in regular water or salt water? I think salt water would be faster and just kill me, because I'd just start. No, I think I'd start choking up and vomiting, and then I'd be sick.
You don't vomit when you're drowning.
You think you can?
I don't think so.
I think you could.
No, it just fills up too fast.
God, that sucks.
But I don't
just hope a shark. But it's comes interesting. And eats me.
Yeah. like, it's like, fucking please. Where's the shark?
Megalodons, just, come here. Got some food for you. Scrappling.
Yeah. What are other ways?
Would you rather fall to your death and like kersplat? Okay. Uh-huh. Or get crushed by like a 18 wheeler and kersplat?
Either way, you're dead immediately.
But you have, well, but the falling, you have to, depending on how high you're falling from, you got a minute and you see it coming. Yeah. 18 wheeler, you might not.
I think the 18 wheeler.
Oh, God, I hate Final Destinations. They really fucked with me too.
Yeah.
Those things. Oh, yeah. Would you rather get hit by a train? No, these are easy. I don't know.
These are easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of something like weird.
If you did have to get. Okay. If one of these happened, like, would you rather die by the device, like the rack, let's say, or would you rather survive and have a little bit of time and then die from like the gangrene or something like that, or like a blood poisoning, or like your limbs rotting off or something?
I think I would want to have a little bit more time.
You think you would?
Because I would be like, no, I'm going to fucking live, and then I'm going to come back and kill all of you.
Just live out of spite? Kind of how we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense, yeah.
I'm going to try at least.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Would you rather starve to death?
No.
Or get tortured to death?
Tortured.
Neither.
Could you? I can't deal with starving.
I'm hungry now.
I know.
I'm just starving.
There's popcorn right here.
I haven't ate for like 3 hours.
I'm so hungry. No. I'm way too much of a foodie. I guess that's the way you would torture me. It's not give me food.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it. I got nothing else. Do you got anything else?
I don't think so.
Torture devices and an off the rails episode, as per fucking huge. What is with short stories just making us fucking wonky every time?
It's been a weird day, too. It's been a very weird day for me.
I like when we get to do this is I hate calling them fun episodes. I like when we get to do fun episodes, though. Like, no one,
I know what
well,
you mean.
I guess. Yeah. People died. I was gonna say no one dies from this episode.
It's not like a murder.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
But I guess we literally did talk about specific people dying, but it doesn't feel like it. So yeah. I feel like we get to kind of like just chat and hang out more. And we got to talk about like movies and do stuff.
Now our form of torture is prison, and you get an entire life
unless you get
given
shanked
to you. I mean, unless you get shanked, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you probably deserve it if you're in prison. But
fair enough.
But you get like a job, and you get food, and
you get healthcare in there.
Yeah,
you get better healthcare in prison sometimes than out
because you don't have to pay for it at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I really, the oubliette really fucked that scary.
That is scary. Yeah.
I don't want to just get stuffed somewhere to be forgotten. That sucks. It's like the concept of being buried alive. Really scary.
Yeah, I would not want to be buried alive.
No. Do you ever think back about the little bells they had to put to make sure that people weren't buried alive?
No.
What? You don't know about that?
No.
So back in the day. They didn't know sometimes if a person was just like in a deep sleep or maybe if they were sick or something like that, or maybe they had something wrong with them. Yeah. And so they would go and bury someone, but then they learned that they were sometimes accidentally burying people prematurely.
How did they learn that?
I don't want to know. But so they learned they were burying people prematurely. So what they did was they would put sometimes even breathing tubes just in case, but they would put like a tube that led to the outside world. And in that breathing tube that led to the outside, at the top of it, they would have a bell, and attached to your hand, they would have like a string. So then you could breathe a little bit to stay alive. But then the moment you woke up, if you realized you were buried alive, you would start moving your hands because you're in a box. You can't move that much. You'd move your hands and the bells would ring. And that's why there were so many people like working in graves and stuff, because they would have to listen to the bells and they'd be like, oh, fuck.
We buried someone.
Jolene is not actually dead. Let's go dig her up.
That's
so that people
crazy
weren't buried alive by accident.
Huh.
That's a real piece of history for you. There you go. I think that maybe would have been like Victorian era or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's also around the time of gravediggers. So imagine that's probably how they figured him out. Because imagine if you were a grave digger.
Oh, my gosh. That is probably how they
figured
it out.
Yeah, they probably like dug someone up and then they were like, there's scratches on the inside of this. Was this person alive, you guys? Was Mildred not fucking dead? They're like, oh, shit. I forgot Mildred had a heart condition. She probably was just like passed out. Well, Mildred's dead now. Thanks again, guys, for listening to this week's case. Feel free to talk to us about dogs barking and torture devices. And the Saw movies and Jesus Christ, leprechauns, the Green River. Holy shit. We talked about so many things.
So many things.
All right. We'll see how you guys feel when you guys talk to us this week. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us after dark. We can't wait to chat with you next week for another new episode. Sleep tight.
Hey, listener, did you have some feedback about this week's case? Or maybe you want to chat with us. Maybe you even have a suggestion you'd like to throw our way. We're always just a click away. You can easily find all of our socials on Linktree through Cryptic Soup Pod, which is available in our Instagram bio. You can also join the CSP Discord, where we would love to chat with you.
Thank you for joining us this week, and make sure to check out our sources available in the description if you want to dive deeper into this case. Don't forget to show your support and love for CSP by leaving a review and rating wherever you normally listen. Next week, we will be back with a new episode where you can join in on the conversation after dark.
Cryptic Soup Pod is a podcast that contains sensitive material at times. We understand if sometimes the subjects are too much for some of the listeners. We thank each and every one of you for being a member of the community and always supporting us. Thank you for everything, and we'll see you next time. So stay tuned. You tried.
Yep.
Because it's not a case.
Nope.
That's why I changed it. But you were so ready.
I was ready.
Okay.
Yep.